From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to answer life's essential questions soundly and persuasively, and to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Want to go right to the phone lines. First up is Selah, Chicago, Illinois. Hi, Selah.
Hi, Hank. Good to meet you. I've listened for a long time, and I got a question. It's about a friend who exclusively believes salvation comes from the Hebrew name or Jewish name exclusively. And I'm not clear. I have some thoughts, but I want to share the good news. So,
yeah, well, the good news is not the name. The good news is the meaning you pour into the name. And therefore, the good news is that in the Old Testament, you have a portrait of Jesus Christ. In the New Testament, Jesus Christ emerges through that portrait drawn up by the Old Testament writers. And that Jesus Christ demonstrates himself to be the very one who spoke in the universe, leapt into existence because he had the power to lay down his life and the power to take it up again, thus demonstrating that he was God in human flesh. So getting caught up in the name is a big mistake. The New Testament writers could have transliterated the Hebrew Yeshua when they wrote Christ's name in the Greek language, but they didn't. All the more evidence that we shouldn't get hung up on names. I'm Dutch. I pronounce the name differently than an American does. The fact of the matter is, it's not my pronunciation of the name. It's what I mean when I talk about Jesus or Jesus or the Christ. What do I mean? And that is the mother of all questions. Who do you say that I am? To some, Jesus Christ is a mere avatar or a messenger. To the true Christian, he is the one who spoke and the galaxies leapt into existence. Welcome back to the phone lines. Talk to Ken in Asheville, North Carolina, listening on the web. Hi, Ken.
Hey, Hank. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
I have a quick question about the church and itself. You know, my heart's greatly troubled because I want to start a ministry, but I'm concerned about the abuses that churches take, such as with tithing, how they take money, how they allocate money. You know, I think we draw lines in certain ways, but when it comes to mega churches and the abuse of money, it just seems like it just doesn't feel right, Hank. You know what I mean?
Well, right. There are things that don't feel right because what's happening is organizations are run by imperfect people in imperfect ways. Now, there is no perfect way that imperfect human beings are ever going to do what we're called to do in ministry. But we are held accountable for what we do with what we have, and that is not only money, but also time and talent. And so the whole idea of running an organization is ultimately to glorify God and to extend his kingdom. And again, human beings do that imperfectly and always will do that imperfectly. But those who are called and recognize in that calling a culpability, in other words, the fact that they're going to stand before God and give an account for what they did with what they had, becomes, as it were, a governor on behavior within church ministry.
Yeah, I see where you're going with that. I guess my problem is it seems that, you know, I'm with you on the majority of what you say. I love listening to your show. I think you're right on target with so much you say. But I guess where I just struggle with it a little bit is we seem to compromise a little bit with concepts such as tithing. You know, when we look at it and how it was applied to the Levitical priesthood, and we look at all the other ordinances that they had, and then, you know, then the church kind of shackles that yoke on the New Testament church and then tries to justify it as a means of, you know, like a teacher teaching people, you know. It just doesn't seem to be applied right and correctly. It seems to be more of a way of the church trying to apply residual income to their establishment.
Well, you can look at it that way, but remember Moses communicated to the children of Israel that we tithe so that we may learn to reverence the Lord our God always, and learning to reverence the name of God is a timeless principle. So tithing ultimately isn't the issue. It is a training wheel on a bike that allows us to ride into free will giving. But I don't think it's a manufactured idea. If you look, for example, at Jesus, he reaffirmed the practice of tithing, but he did not do so for outward appearances, but as an outward expression of an inward reality. And you have this echoed by church fathers like Jerome, who said that failing to pay tithes and offerings was tantamount to robbing God, a prescription for financial ruin. So the point in tithing is that people need to learn to reverence the Lord and learn to trust in the arm of God as opposed to trusting in the arm of flesh. So I don't know that there's a real basis for denigrating tithing. I think tithing's a good practice, but that's not the ultimate reward. The ultimate reward is free will giving, which is recognizing we own nothing, we hold everything that we have with an open hand so that God can put in and pull out as he sees fit. If you want further information on tithing, I've written about it in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition. Back to the phone lines, Joel, Modesto, California. Hi, Joel.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My question, I was raised in relativism, and the main beliefs and doctrines and stuff, I hold to those strong, but with the second tier of beliefs, like you were touching on Zionism and you guys, your perspective, I guess there's like 9 or 12 perspectives on Revelations or something like that. With those second tier, second, you know, doctrines or perspectives of like Calvinism or Arminianism are the main ones people like to throw out there. I don't know, I don't know if it's wrong to have this perspective or what's your thoughts on relativistic perspective towards those. I kind of don't want to take a stance on some of those because it seems so unnecessary, and it's like I could see the argument for both sides, and so like I want to pull the blessings from both views, and I really don't see a strong stake or line being drawn in the sand to say, you know, I should choose one on a lot of issues. Like even the biggest one is like predestination, whether or not he predestines individuals or if he predestines, I guess, types or not types, but just predestines individuals or predestines Gentiles in general. Because I feel those both truths working out in me that I can't lose my salvation because I would never want to. So I guess, I don't know if that's too big of a roundabout question, but
no, I get what you're saying, but I think you have to recognize at the very first that this is not about relativism. We're not saying that two contradictory views concerning a secondary issue are both true or equally correct. That indeed would be a relative view of truth. But rather, we're saying the reason we can debate and not divide over secondary issues is because the biblical data underdetermines the issues we say are secondary issues, and that's why people have struggled with them over the years. The main and the plain things are easy to grasp. The secondary issues, not so much. That's why there is differences in ecclesiology or eschatology or some of the other things that you mentioned. And what we're asking for is that people debate those issues vigorously, but don't divide over them. Now, the same thing cannot be said with respect to the main and plain things, that the very doctrines for which the martyrs shed their blood, they are the North Star of the Christian church, without which we cannot set our course. They are the foundation of the gospel, and therefore We have tried to popularize the maxim in essentials unity, non-essentials liberty, and all things charity. But again, that is not to say that the issues that you have delineated are unimportant issues. They are important issues. There's a big difference in how you view predestination, as you point out. Is predestination a function of God's predilection? Is predestination a function of God looking down the corridor of time? Or is predestination a function of Christ being the object of predestination, Him being the predestined one, and those who are in Him are by virtue of that predestined? There are ways in which we grapple with those issues and recognize that though we're grappling with those issues, others have grappled with them for years, and so we do it, as you started out in the prologue to your question, with gentleness and with respect, with humility, seeking to learn from one another so that we might grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be right back.
The famous British apologist G.K. Chesterton once noted, "The true soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him." Because at CRI we love what is behind us, our faith, our families, and our freedoms, we will never retreat quietly from the growing assaults on life and truth. Even when the costs are great, we will stand. To join like-minded friends in making a difference at home and around the globe, and to equip fellow believers to stand their ground courageously, become a member of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI, or visit our website at equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a few moments. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part 2 explains why truth is necessary, but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us online at equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Holly listening in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Holly.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I have a dear friend from college. I've known her almost 20 years now, who recently let me know that she was converting to Judaism and no longer believe that Jesus is the Son of God. As you can imagine, this has been, it was painful for me to hear. And I want to know if you've got any advice for how I can best minister to her in this time of need that she's got.
Yeah, a couple of things that come to mind. You know, I wrote a book called Has God Spoken? And in that book, I demonstrate that Jesus Christ is portrayed in the Old Testament such that for a Jewish person, you can find Jesus Christ portrayed in the old, come to flesh in the new. So his ancestry was marked and his birthplace foretold in the Old Testament. The circumstances surrounding his death were prophesied before crucifixion was invented. The date of his visitation was predicted within historically narrow time parameters. It would be too small for him to bring back only those of Israel, and therefore he was going to be a light to the Gentiles so that salvation could go out to the ends of the earth. So only the hand of God could have etched a prophetic portrait of Christ in the Old Testament, and only God could cause it to take on flesh in the New. Only Jesus of Nazareth could emerge through the doorway of Old Testament prophecy. The reason I think that's salient and important is because if you can explain that Jesus is the fulfillment of all that came before in the Old Testament, oftentimes you have an opportunity to reach someone who doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is actually the Messiah that is predicted in the Old Testament.
Okay, thank you very much.
You got it. And again, I've written about this in detail in my book, Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs to the Bible's Divine Inspiration. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Jason in Des Moines, Iowa. Hi, Jason.
Howdy. I guess this question is being asked not out of spite or with any hostile intent, even though I'm sure it would come across to some of your listeners as such. As a non-believer in any kind of God whatsoever, I'm just wondering what kind of answer Christianity or any kind of Abrahamic-based religion has for the numerous inconsistencies, contradictions, and just outright, for lack of a better term, ridiculousness of the Bible. First example, creationism. This is straight from Genesis, as I'm sure you know. It states God creates day and night on the third day, yet he doesn't create the sun and stars on the fourth day. Well, there's no possible way for there to be day and night on the third day without sun and stars. There's just one example.
Jason, I have to interrupt you for just a second and say that, you know, if you're going to read any kind of literature in the way that you are now reading or interpreting Genesis, you'd make nonsense out of everything. You know, what you're displaying is a rabid fundamentalism in the way that you're reading the book of Genesis. Genesis is a literary masterpiece by any standard. If we're just talking about literary prowess, Genesis is a beautiful piece of work. What you find in the book of Genesis is a hierarchy of creation, not a chronology of creation. And the days of creation are actually used so that you can remember God's creative prowess. And by the way, when you say you don't believe in God, how in the world did this universe come into existence? You have to take the untenable notion in an age of scientific enlightenment that nothing creates everything, that life comes from non-life, and that the life that comes from non-life produced morals. I mean, that stretches credulity beyond the breaking point for any thinking human being.
But that still makes absolutely no sense. It's just a never-ending.
What makes no sense? That nothing creates everything?
I mean, if you're going to use that logic,
what logic?
Who created God? And it just goes back and forth of who created who and who created who and who created who.
No, that's not true. I mean, the universe itself has principles associated with it, which is to say, we can say about the universe that every effect has to have a cause equal to or greater than itself. But what is true?
Who created God then? If you're using that logic, you have to have a creator for God.
No, God is an uncaused first cause. So the principles of science that apply to the universe in which we live don't have to apply to God. And by your reasoning, all you'd ever have is an infinite regress. We don't. We point to
exactly. That's the point I'm trying to make. It's an infinite regress of who created who.
No, I'm saying that's your logic. It's not our logic. We don't have an infinite regress because we look at the universe and we say that common sense prevails. When you see a sun, moon, and stars, you cannot logically assume that they just happened. That should stretch your credulity beyond the breaking point. I mean, if the sun were closer to the earth, we would fry. If it was farther away, we'd freeze. The moon is very critical to our survival on earth. If the moon was smaller or farther away, tidal motion would cease and the oceans would stagnate and die. If it was closer, tidal waves would submerge vast areas of land and life would be impossible. So the universe is perfectly designed, and that didn't happen without a designer. Every design presupposes a designer.
I would agree with those statements you said. Those are fantastic statements, true in every bit. However, there's not one bit of biblical teaching that brought anybody to those conclusions. It was all science. I would preface it with that.
But just a sec. You're making dogmatic assertions, and I think what you want to do is make defensible arguments. The Bible does point to natural revelation or general revelation in saying the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they proclaim knowledge. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their words go out to the ends of the earth. The Bible also tells us that God's divine nature, his eternal power, are seen in what has been made so that men are without excuse. And I would also submit to you, as you probably know, as a very articulate and learned person who is discussing this subject, that science came out of a biblical worldview. It came out of the notion that God's thoughts could be thought after him. So science developed out of a Christian worldview. Prior to that, if you look at Aristotle or you look at Plato or you look at the great philosophers who had reason but they didn't have revelation, they ended up in worlds in which you can't think God's thoughts after him, in worlds in which you can't have the scientific premise or paradigm which has brought such great enlightenment to the West. So science came out of a biblical worldview. And again, I'm sure you know that from a historical standpoint. At any rate, for anybody listening in, I've written a creation answer book, which gives answers in detail to these and many other questions. And as to whether the Bible is a reliable source, the book Has God Spoken, available through the web at equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Todd next, listening in Newton, Kansas. Hi, Todd.
Hey, thank you very much for taking my call, bud. I just got a quick question here. I love the way you're talking about creation and everything. And my concern is I'm a diehard creationist. But the only thing I'm having trouble understanding is through the years people have talked about, well, I believe God created the stars, the universes, and everything. And when some scientist tells me, okay, this star is 10 million light years away, help me understand that, because I'm always thinking, okay, those stars are 10,000 years old. That's how old the Earth is. I believe in a young Earth and a young universe. So is the prism that they judge the starlight through incorrect? Am I wrong? How do I do that?
Yeah, a couple of things I would say, and I unfortunately have seconds to answer your question, but the answers to your question are in my Creation Answer book. The bottom line is this. If you want to find out how old the universe is, look to general revelation. If you want to find out God's purposes in creation, look to the Bible. The Bible doesn't give us a chronology. It does give us a hierarchy, which culminates in the crowning jewel of God's creation, humankind, and we are created for fellowship with God, and that fellowship will be restored in recreation. I've answered the age question in the Creation Answer book. We're out of time. We'll be right back next time with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.